Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf, which is Psachim Yud Gimel. We are two lines from the top. We know that Minat Torah, one stops eating chametz at Chatzos. In the Rabbanon, they pushed it back somewhat. We have a machlokes to what extent they pushed it back. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they pushed it back 2 hours. So you stop eating your chametz at the end of the fourth hour. 2 hours before Chatzos, we're concerned about confusion and mistakes. Whereas according to our mayor, Chachamim only pushed it back 1 hour. So you eat your chametz the first 5 hours of Erev Pesach. According to Rav Gamliel, it depends. Truma, which you're not meant to dispose of so easily, that we allow you to eat up until the fifth hour. Whereas when it comes to Chulin, you stop 2 hours before Chatzos, you stop at the fourth hour. So you have three shittas. Now, who is the halacha like? Says the Gemara, two lines from the top of the Amid, Amrav Nachman, Amrav, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, you stop at the fourth hour. Amar le Rav le Rav Nachman. V'neim amar, why don't you say halacha ki Rabbi Meir? Why? The sasam lantana kavasei, because we have a Stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, which follows Rav Meir, and we're meant to follow a Stam Mishnah, which indicates that that is the halacha. This non kol shah shemut alecha machel is the first Mishnah in the next parak. As long as one can eat chametz, he can also feed chametz to his animal. And what does this indicate? That eating and feeding, achila and hana, go hand in hand. This evidently is following Shitas. Rabbi Meir says, you stop eating and having a anah at the end of the fourth hour. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, although achila stops at number four, but you can still have a anah during hour number five. Apparently this Mishnah which ties achila and anah together is following Rabbi Meir. Says the Gemara, he loves stamahu. So he responded, no, actually that Mishnah is not a stam Mishnah in accordance with Shitas Rabbi Meir. Mishum de kasha mutar, because the Gemara actually has a kasha on that mission. The mission says, kol shosh mutar le'echol machal behema. This is the Gemara in the beginning of the second parak. What's the point of mutar le'echol? Kol shosh oichol machal. The mission should have said, as long as you can eat, you can feed. Why kol shosh mutar le'echol? That indicates that we're speaking of two different people. So as long as the kohen can still eat, meaning only on that fifth hour, although the Yisrael can't eat, but the Kohen can, along that fifth hour, the Yisrael can still feed to his animal, because he can still have a anah. So, that Mishnah is not following Rav Meir at all. The Mishnah that splits between the Kohen and the Yisrael, evidently is following Shita's Rav Gamliel, not Rav Meir. So we don't have an anonymous Mishnah in line with Rav Meir's Shita. Says the Gemara, okay, v'neima mar, so why don't you say halacha k'Rabbi Gamliel? Halacha follows Rabbi Gamliel, who says, it depends. Chulin can be eaten up to four, truma up to five. Why would we follow Rabbi Gamliel? The havale machriya, because Rabbi Gamliel is offering a compromise between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, you have to stop at four. Rabbi Yehuda says, you have until five. Rabbi Gamliel proposes a compromise. He says, well, chulin, stop at four, truma, you extend until five. That's a compromise, and generally we follow. The halacha follows the shita that's a machriya, that compromises between the other shitas. Amar lei. So Rav Nachman responded, it doesn't apply in this case. Rav Gamliel lav machriyahu. He's not offering a compromise. Rather, tam denaf sheikah amar. He's merely proposing his own perspective and opinion, because Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda never discussed any possible differences between Chulin and Truma. They didn't even mention Chulin and Truma. Rameh says you stop at 4, Rabbi Yehuda says stop at 5. They didn't refer to Truma or Kachim. Therefore, when Gamliel comes and tells us, well, it depends if it's Chulin, you stop here, if it's Truma, you stop there, he's not really considered compromising between the other Shitas. He's not making reference to them. It's an independent view, a new perspective, and it's not considered Machriya, and therefore we don't follow that sheet. Vibayisem, or alternatively, why does Rav say halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda? Rav da amar ki haytana. Rav was following the following Tana in the following Braisa, who holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara concludes, indeed, that the halacha is meant to follow that shita. The sanya arba asar shecholias b'Shabbos. If the 14th day of Nisan Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos itself, when do you dispose of your chametz? When do you burn it? Mivaren asakol milfnei Shabbos. You burn your entire supply before Shabbos. V'sorf and trumais, tameyais, all types of trumais. You can burn as well, whether they are tamei, whether they are tluyais. Tluyais means there's an uncertainty whether they're tamei or tar. You burn that as well. Utahiris, even truma tahira. You burn before Shabbos. Ask Tosis, how can one burn truma? We're not meant to do that. We're meant to safeguard, secure the truma. Says Tosis, because that only applies to something which is slated for consumption, that you can eat, but this truma is going to be asr. Tosis says, Seifa li asr v'leilach li ibu, it's going to be asr and get destroyed in any case. It's not intended for consumption, therefore there's no isr to burn it even ahead of time, even before it's actually asr. So you burn everything before Shabbos, before Erev Pesach. U'mishayrin, but you leave something over for your Shabbos meals. U'mishayrin minat tahirois. You leave two pseudo worths of the Truma Tahira to supply you until 4 hours in the day. So you have one pseudo Friday night, one pseudo Shabbos morning, which you can eat up until 4 hours. Divrei, Rabbi Lezer, Ben Yehuda, Ish Bar Soisa, came from that town, Bar Soisa, who said in the name, Sha'ama Mishur Mishur, said in the name of Yeshua, that this is how you meant to go. Burn everything, all your chametz, leave just a bit over for your Shabbos meals, which you're meant to conclude by the fourth hour. So apparently he's following Shitas, Rabbi Yehuda, that you're meant to stop eating chametz 2 hours before Chatzos. Okay, continues the Brayse regarding Truma. Amru lois, so the Chacham responded to him, Tahiris lois sarf, the Truma Tahira should not be burned. Leave it around, just in case maybe a kohen will come along and eat it. Shema Yimatzalem Oichlam, perhaps you'll find some people to eat it on Shabbos. So wait until the last moment. Now, worst case, if you don't find anybody, just feed it to the dog of a kohen or do bittel. But don't actually burn it ahead of time. Amar lehen, so Rabbi Lezer responded, look, there's no reason, there's no need to do that. There's no point. Kvar bikshu v'leimatzu, they looked for people. They looked for kohanim. They didn't find anybody. They know that there's no kohanim in the city to eat this truma. So what's the point of holding on to it? Amar lo, so they responded, well, you never know, shema chutz l'chayim alonu, perhaps there's some kohanim hiding outside the city, so perhaps you don't know about them, they'll show up on Shabbos, maybe they slept outside the chayim and they'll be here tomorrow. Amar lehem, so he told them, look, if you're going to entertain every possibility, according to you, even the truma which is totally, which has a suffix, whether it's tamei tor, you agree that you burn it, no, even that you shouldn't burn, you know why? Shema yob elyo, perhaps elyo, another will arrive on Shabbos, Erev Pesach, be tarim. He'll tell us, well, this thing is tarim, you can eat it. So if you're going to be concerned about any scenario, any possibility, so when it comes to that, you should be concerned as well. Wait until the last moment. Amar lo, they told, no, that's not a possibility. Why? Kvar muftach len Yisrael. Because Kal Yisrael is sure and guaranteed, she'en Eliyo bo. Eliyo Navi doesn't arrive, lo'i ba'arvi Shabbosais, lo'i ba'arvi yamim tovim. He won't come on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yantiv, no, not to disrupt the Torah, the effort, the Shabbos and Yantiv preparations. So we know he won't come today. He won't come Erev Shabbos, he won't come on Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach. So there's no point in holding on to the Suffolk Truma, which will have to be burnt in any case, have to be destroyed in any case, won't be consumed in any case. When it comes to the Truma Torah, hold on to it, just in case. Okay, let's stop for a moment, take a look at Rashi inside. So Rashi is immediately to the right. We're looking for a reason why Rav decided that Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. That's how we began today's daf. Rav Nachum said in the name of Rav, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. We want to know why he chose Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, you know why? Because Rav is following the Tana in this Braisa. As the Gemara will conclude soon that the Halacha was established in accordance with this Tana who follows Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. He's following the following Tana, the Kava, Hilchas Rabbi Yehuda, Lezer Rabbi Yehuda. And as we're going to see soon, the Gemara established the Halacha and according to that Tana, Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar who says, Afilu Truma Kol Arba, Vesuloi, even when it comes to Truma, you have until 4 hours to eat it, and no more than that. The Ketani, the Kava, Halacha Kamaisai, as the Gemara soon will tell us, that the Halacha was established according to this Shita, You have until hour 4 to eat. That's why Rav chose Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara told us about Erev Pesach, which happens to fall down on Shabbos. So when do you burn your chametz? You do it all before Shabbos. Even the Truma. Even Teluyos, which are in limbo, Safek, Tmeyos, Safek, Tehoros, you burn everything, but you just leave yourself a bit for Shabbos. How much? Enough for two sudos. Mazayin shtei sudos, v'loy shalosh. So Rashi has a kasha. What happened to the third sudo of Shabbos? The chol shalosh sudos of Shabbos, arvis shachos mincha. Says Rashi, when are the three sudos? At night, morning, and afternoon. And that's a problem, because ve'erev Pesach asher lechol, v'na mincha l'mala. When I'm going to sit down to a meal on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, it's going to interfere with the appetite and anticipation of the matzah. So therefore, that meal is not accounted for. We only reserve enough chametz for two meals, the night meal and the morning meal. Rabbeinu Peretz says, because the Shabbos afternoon meal won't be able to be done with chametz. It's after chatzos. That's why you don't reserve anything for that suda. So this was the sheet of Rabbi Lezer, Ben Yehuda. You burn everything except for two meals worth. The Chacham responded to him, no. Tehoros lo yisarfu. Klal, don't burn the Truma Torah at all. Why? Hayuvali yigi hazman on levar. Since the time of beer has not yet arrived. It's still before Erev Pesach even. So leave it alone. Now, even though he doesn't seem to really need it, v'afa b'shiyesh l'shir k'danashi b'esei shal koyin. This koyin left over for his family supply. Nevertheless, leave it alone. Shema yimtza kahanam orchem shiachilim. Perhaps he'll find some guests to feed them the truma. He'll find kahanam guests to feed them the truma. V'linafs the truma b'yadayim. And perhaps he'll be able to avoid destroying the truma with his hands. The truma. V'im lo yimtza. Now, if he happens not to find kahanam, how's he going to dispose of the truma? Yachilim l'machal l'kav kahanam. So tomorrow I'll give it to the kohen's dog. Or yivatam b'libo do bittel. Rav Lezer responded, "Fired big shvulei matzu. He already looked for kehanim. He didn't find anybody. Kolaymar, kolosh mashiyesh levakish fired bikish. There's nothing more to look for. Da b'shabbos leivoy urchem. On Shabbos, no guests will service. Far yadeu bakihu. He already is well versed with the goings on in the city. He knows exactly who's living, who lives here. Ba'isin shabir miyaviyetzla. He knows who's coming, who's not coming. There's no point in reserving extra chametz." So they told, no, maybe there's somebody outside the city waiting to arrive. Lonu, they slept outside the city. Loshen molin, lodging. Shema b'toich ha'tchum lonim kahanim urchim. Halayla, perhaps. There are kahanim within the territory, within the tchum of the city. And v'yavar l'macha, they'll show up tomorrow. So he responded, well, you're going to entertain all these possibilities. Achal d'verichem, according to you, the chashin and the shema. If you're concerned about this shema, this possibility, then let me ask you a question. Amay l'pal gisu el b'toiris. Why are you only disagreeing when it comes to Truma Tahira? Reserve it for the surprise guests. If that's the case, when it comes to the Truma Tahira, leave it alone, don't burn it yet. Perhaps Elio will arrive today or tomorrow. Before the time of beer. I'll make them tar. I'll say, well, I know for a fact this didn't even come tummy. And now you can eat it. So they responded, well, Eliyahu is not really a realistic possibility. Lo yibar v'shabbos, because it doesn't come on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov. V'ayom yibar v'shabbos, today is Erev Shabbos, he won't come. V'lo moch Erev Yom Tov, tomorrow is Erev Yom Tov. Why doesn't he come? V'pnei ha-toyrach. Sheyesh lan lasek b'studei Shabbos. V'yitru duboy. Because Kal Yisrael is meant to be involved in the preparation for the Shabbos studeis, and this will distract him. So he won't come at that inopportune moment. Now, although we're speaking about Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos. So he's not really involved in preparing, it's Shabbos. So Tyson in Erevin actually explains it's going to interfere with preparations for the Shabbos Suda. He's setting up for the Suda. It's going to be a distraction from that. And therefore, he won't come on that day as well. Okay, so this was the back and forth between Reb Lezer, Yehuda, and the Rabbana. Let's go back to the Gemara. Amru, so they said, Loizozim Misham, they didn't budge from there at Shekova Halacha Kerb Lezer Ben Yehuda Ishba Soysa, that the Halacha was established in accordance with this Shita, Rab Lezer Ben Yehuda, Sha'amah Mishur, be sure that what? So he really said two things. He said, burn everything before Shabbos, don't be concerned about the surprise guests. And number two, he indicated in his words that what is the deadline for chametz? 4 hours. He said, leave something over for Shabbos to be eaten up until 4 hours. Says the Gemara, my love, afilu le'echel. Shall we not say that the halacha followed this opinion even when it comes to the question of deadline, eating deadline? 4 hours, which is Rabbi Yehuda Shita in our Mishnah. And that's why perhaps Rav chose Rabbi Yehuda over Rav Meir, because of this conclusion, this halacha. Amrav Papa, Mishmei de Rav, no, loy levayr. When we say they were kaveh al halacha, it was only in reference to the question of what are you meant to burn? What are you meant to get rid of before Shabbos? And in reference to that, we follow Rabbi Lezer that, yeah, get rid of everything except for 2 sudeis worth. But perhaps when it comes to the exact eating deadline on Erev Pesach, maybe we follow Rabbi Meir and we give you an extra hour. We don't follow Rabbi Lezer and Yehuda that the deadline is hour number 4. Continues the Gemara. Va'av Rebbe Savala the Rav Nachman. We actually find that Rebbe as well seems to hold of Rav Nachman's opinion that the halacha follows Rebbe Yehuda, that we stop eating chametz at hour number 4. To Amar Ravin Barav Ada Masa Bada Mechad, was a story with a certain person. Shehivkid Diskia, he deposited this Diskia. Rashi says D is a lashon of 2, a double pouch, a double leather pouch, Malaya chametz, filled with chametz. Eitzel Yechanan Chakuka. He deposited with Yechanan Chakuka. And it came Erev Pesach. And it was still there. It was filled with chametz and still in his possession. V'nokvu achbarim. And some mice bored holes in the pouch. V'yechametz mevatzvetz v'yoytze. And the chametz was creeping out, protruding out of this sack. U'bolifnei Rebbe. Now, it was Erev Pesach. Yechanan knew that sooner or later this chametz is going to become asur and worthless. So he wanted to know what he's meant to do with the chametz here. So he approached Rebbe, Shor Rishona, during the first hour of the Erev Pesach, and he asked him, should I do something with it? So Rebbe responded, wait around. Maybe the owner will come by and take it and eat it. Don't go sell it in the marketplace. Rashi, it seems from Rashi that there would be a loss involved. Just to sell it, he's going to lose money. Chametz is very cheap today. Or perhaps the owner doesn't want you to sell it. He wants to hold on to this chametz. So hold on to it. Shnia, come the second hour. He approached Rebbe again. What should I do? Should I sell it? Amalei Hamten, wait around. Shlisha, same thing happened the third hour. Amalei Hamten, wait around. Revius, once the fourth hour approached, Amalei Hamten, again, hold on to it, wait around. Chamishis, it's the fifth hour. Amalei, now he told him, same Rechabisha, go sell in the marketplace. Now the Maram Chalava points out the reason why the Gemara mentions that the chametz was mevatzves v'yoytze, which was creeping out and getting lost, to indicate that if not for the fact that it was Erev Pesach and a much greater loss will result by ignoring the chametz and not selling it, if not for that, there wouldn't be really a concern with this little bit of chametz getting lost. It's just a small minor loss that wouldn't justify actually selling it. It's only because the chametz is actually going to become usur, completely usur, that was reason to justify sale. So he told him, go sell it in the marketplace, which indicates, go out there and find some customers. My love of Nachrim, apparently he's referring to Goyim, to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that once hour number 5 approaches, a Yisrael can no longer consume the chametz. He had to find Goyim customers. I'm Rabbi Yosef, no, Lord Yisrael, look Rabbi Meir. Perhaps he's referring to selling it to a Yid, who can still eat the chametz during the fifth hour, in line for a Meir Shita. So perhaps Rebbe's found Rebbe, not Rebbe Yehuda. Amalei Abaye, Eli Yisrael, if he is going to sell to Yisrael, and that's what Rebbe had in mind, Nishkele Nafshei, why did he tell him, why did he have to tell him to go to the marketplace? For the same money, he could just buy it off himself. So that's why Mishum Chashad, not meant to do so, because it can evoke suspicion. Perhaps people think, when he does this private transaction under wraps, perhaps he's shortchanging the owner. He's not paying him full value. So he meant to do things transparently, out in the open, in full public view. The Sanya, as we learned in the Brice. Kavo Yitzdaka, Shein L'manim L'chalak. Yitzdaka collectors who have money, who have coins, but no anim to give the money to. Partin L'achirim. So Rashi explains they have these copper coins which will get spoiled and rusty. So they're trying to convert it to silver coins. Do it with other people's money. For any person, Atzman, don't do it. They can't do it with their own money, privately. In order to do things transparently, in full public view, so that they avoid any perception of impropriety. Likewise, Gabayich Tamchoy, the food collectors, Shein Lemanim Lachalak, who don't have any poor people to give the food to, Moich Lachem, they sell to other people, Moich La'atzman, but not to themselves, Mishum Shenemar. Why does a person have to maintain proper public image and appearance? Why is that required? We have a pasuk, Shenemar, V'yisem Nekim, Me Hashem, you meant to come clean from Hashem, Umi Yisrael, and also create that proper image and perception amongst your fellow Yisrael. So, according to Rav Yosef's response, there's no raya from Rebbe that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Perhaps he was selling it to Yisrael during the fifth hour. And according to Rav Meishit, Amalei Rav Adabar Masna Rav Yosef. So he told Rav Yosef like this. Rashi explains Rav Yosef forgot his learning, and his Talmidim would, from time to time, remind him. So he told Rav Yosef, you know, you yourself told us, Beferish Amraslan, say Ur Meichel Nachar. That Rebbe instructed him to sell the chametz specifically to a guy. Apparently, Rebbe Yehuda. This is line Rebbe Yehuda. Israel can no longer eat that chametz. So indeed, according to Rebbe Yosef's version here, Rebbe paskin like Rebbe Yehuda. And that's what the Gemara meant earlier, that Rebbe, v'af Rebbe, held like Rebbe Yehuda. Amar Rebbe Yosef, k'man azla hashmata, the Rebbe. This halacha, when Rebbe tells him, go sell the deposit, go sell the chametz, and get its value, and return that to the owner. In accordance with whose view, whose shita is reflected here? Come on, Azla Hashmata the Rebbe. That you can go ahead and sell a pikadon, something that doesn't belong to you, in order to salvage it for the sake of the owner. Apparently, it's following this shita. It's not. A mafket paid us as a chaver. If one is mafket, he deposits for safekeeping some peris by his chaver. Even if there's loss happening here, some of the peris are getting lost, are getting spoiled, getting eaten by the creatures, don't touch them. The Gemara of Matzi explains according to one approach, because a person wants to hold on to his personal produce, in which he invested much effort and toil and tircha. So even though it's going to lessen as time goes along, he still wants it. So hold on to it for him. Don't sell it. Rabbi Hashim Gamliel Omer, no, Meichem Bezdin, he should go sell it with the Bezdin's permission. Because he is salvaging the person's property. It's a Shabbos Aveda. Apparently, Rebbe, who allowed and instructed this person to sell the chametz in order to avoid losing the chametz completely, was in line with who? The Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, and not Rebbe, and not the Tanakam. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye responded, not necessarily. Haven't we learned pshat on this Mishnah? Amar Rav Bar Bachana. Amar Rabbi Yechon. Lo yishanu. This discussion, this machlekes, only pertains where? Ela bechdei chesroinon. When the loss that's taking place is within the realm of normalcy. It's typical, the typical loss. Aval yosim bechdei chesroinon, but if it's more than that, there's a great amount of produce being lost here. In that case, all agree, moichron bebezin, you can go sell bebezin. Because kli nachan, certainly in this case, where it's chametz in Erev Pesach, they're going to become valueless, going to become lost completely. So going to all shittas, certainly you go ahead and sell that chametz, to at least salvage the value for the owner. Okay, so in summation, we learned that Rav as well as Rebbe conclude that the halacha follows Rebbe Yehuda, that midi rabbanon, you meant to stop eating chametz 2 hours before chatzos, the end of the fourth hour. We learned about Erev Pesach that happens to fall out on Shabbos. We have machlekes, according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yehuda, you burn everything, even your truma, before Shabbos. You leave yourself over just a little bit for two meals, Friday night and Shabbos morning. According to Chacham, however, we leave the Truma Tahira over just in case some surprise guests will arrive. And we concluded that when a person has a Pikadon, which will be totally lost, for instance, the Chametz and Erev Pesach, all will agree that you go ahead and you sell it so that you salvage the value for the owner. Continues the Gemara. So these were the two chalais placed on the Har HaBayis to serve as a public reminder for the Zman Achilas Chometz and Zman Shreifas Chometz. Tani, Tana. Kameid Rav Yehuda, there was a Amayer who presented this Mishnah in front of Rav Yehuda as follows. Where did they place those two chalais? Al Gav HaItztaba. On top of this low-lying bench, which wasn't really publicly seen. Aham Malayis, Rav Yehuda responded, what's the point of doing that? Chilat Tzninu Tzarev, they trying to hide them? Rather, Tzni, you meant to learn like this. Al Gag HaItztaba. That they placed the two chalais on the roof of the Itztaba up above, so that it's visible and serves as a public indicator for the Zman Achila and Zman Shreif. Omer Rochava, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Har HaBayis, on the Har HaBayis there was a double arrangement of these canopies. Stav Kofel Hoya. So Stav is a reference to these arches, these roofed areas, these terraces. So it was actually a double arrangement. Along the perimeter of Har HaBayis, there was these terraces, and another row of these arches inside that row of arches. Stav Kafel Hoya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Istivanis Hoysa Nikris. It was called Istivanis, which indicates a double stav. Stav Lifnim Istav. So there was an outer arrangement along the outer perimeter of the Har HaBayis, all these terraces surrounding, and then inside of it was another arrangement. Continues the Gemara. So these chalais that were placed there were psulais. Chalais toida that were pasul. Am I psulais? Why were they pasul? How did they become pasul? Amr b'chanina. B'toich shayu merubais. Since there were so many of those chalais, which were chametz, nefsulais belina, they became pasul by staying overnight because they were brought the day before Erev Pesach, hoping that they will be consumed before Pesach, and there were so many of them, not enough eaters. So inevitably, some of them remained overnight and became pasul. So now it's Erev Pesach. We have chalais toida, which are pasul belina, and they were used as an indicator to notify regarding the zman, achila, and zman shreif. The sanya is going to the brayse. Ein mevin toida b'chag amatzis. We're not meant to bring a korban toida on Pesach. Why? Because there's chametz involved. Some of those 40 chalis were chametz. 10 of them were chametz. So you can't do it on Pesach. Pshita, of course. Why would I think otherwise? On Adabar Ava, he's not speaking about on Pesach itself. Hacha b'yudal daskinan. The Brayse is referring to Erev Pesach. When I'm meant to bring a korban toida, even on Erev Pesach, you know why? Because Savar ein mevin kachin lebeis apsol. This Tana holds that when I'm meant to cause the korban to become pasul. So since, generally speaking, a korban toida can be eaten for a day and a night, by bringing this on Erev Pesach, he's going to shorten, he's going to lessen the zman achila because the chametz within it can only be consumed up until midday. And it's going to become, you're going to have to burn it at that point. Therefore, we don't allow him to bring a toida even on Erev Pesach. So as a result of that restriction, what happens? V'kuli alma b'shleisha asar maislu. So all bring their korban toida when? On the 13th day before Erev Pesach. And since there are so many korbanos, umtech shehen meruba, it's because there are so many, nifsalis belina, they became pasul belina, and they used two of those chalais for the Har HaBayis. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. So it's about 9 lines from the top of the Amid, beginning with the words, umtech shehen meruba. So the Gemara explains because there were so many of them, there was an abundance of these lachmei toida, and they became pasul, explains Rashi. Lachmei toida b'shleisha asar b'nisan, since there were so many on the 13th, shekol mi sheyesh lo havi toida b'regel, whoever has to bring a korban toida on Yom Tov Meriah b'viyah b'shleisha asar, brings it on the 13th. And as a result, nifsal is belina. L'boikir shel yudalot. Once they stay overnight, they become pasul. Lachmei toida comprised of 40. Mem chalis v'yud mem chamis. They were comprised of 40 chalis. 10 of them were chametz, shenemar al chalis lechem chametz. And we can't do it on Erev Pesach. Why? Ein levin kashem pesach psul. Ein levin karban b'yoyim. She is smart. Zman achilo seh shekov leiter. We're not meant to bring a karban on a day where it's going to result in lessening and shortening the zman achila. V'nitzim b'l'day noiser. Which will cause it to become noiser prematurely. V'toyde nechal s'leim v'layla. A toyde can be eaten for a day and a night. V'im yivim b'yadalad ein nechalas shal chametz elat sheh shoyz. So you're going to shorten this manachil because if you bring an Erev Pesach, the chametz can only be eaten until chatzos. Therefore, you can't bring the carbon Erev Pesach and the kuli alma b'yud gimel ma'isul. So you all bring it on the 13th. Kol mish'ol of toida mevi b'yud gimel. L'fish alay akriveno l'machar, can't bring it tomorrow. V'kol shkem Pesach, certainly not on Pesach. And as a result of that, nivsolay z'belina she'en le'moichem kol kach. There are not enough eaters. U'mashum de'psulis v'aymdeis hayu. So that explains matters. Since these things were already puzzled, the chalas were already puzzled belina, nitan and sham, so they were placed on the harbayis to serve as an indicator. Explains Rashi. The imo yikshayis, because if they would have been kosher and edible, lo yoyu nice and nice and sham, they wouldn't put it on the harbayis. K'dei lefoyslam biyadayim, which will result in making it puzzled, doing it manually, directly making it puzzled. Shum unachas sham ad zman abir min strafayis, you're going to leave it there until zman abir and then burn it? You wouldn't do that if it's kosher. Evidently, we're speaking about chalas already puzzled. How are they puzzled? Because all will bring their karbanah study yesterday. Due to the overabundance of the karbanah, of the chalas, and not enough eaters, inevitably some of them would stay overnight, become puzzled. Come Erev Pesach, you have chalas psulis, which are used as an indicator, and then they'll go ahead and burn it when the zman strefa arrives. That's the first pshat in the Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Mishum Rabbi Yanai Amru. So in the name of Rabbi Yanai, they gave another explanation to our Mishnah. What were these chalos psulas? Actually, ksheiros hayu. They weren't really pasul. Well, I might heard the psulas. Why is the Mishnah refer to them as psulas? Because they were partially pasul. They weren't fit for achila, but they were somewhat kosher. Shalinishcha talein hazevach. What happened was that you didn't. The carbon toida was not shechted on their behalf, and we know that. The chalos toida become kadosh, how? Through the carbon toida, through the shchita, through the zrika, that is mekadosh the lechem. Since there was no shchita on the carbon, the lechem is not edible. It's not fit for consumption. And that's why they would use it for that purpose. So why don't you just go shech the carbon? Sh'ovet ha-zevach. Zevach got lost. Okay, so bring another carbon to replace the first one and do the shchit. The Amar Zu Toide Vizulach, I was speaking where he designated. He says, this is the carbon toide and this is its bread. In which case, he can no longer substitute, replace for the lost carbon because this bread has been attached and committed to this animal and can't be applied to another animal. Ukid the Rabba. The Amar Rabba's Rabba said, Avad HaLechem, in this case where he designated Zu Toida Vuzu Lachma and the bread went lost, went missing, maybe Lechem Macher, simple solution, just bring another batch of bread and replace the first one. However, of the Toida, but let's say the Toida, the animal itself, went missing, Ein maybe Toida Achers, he cannot replace it with another Toida. My time, what's the difference between the Lechem and the Toida? Lechem Glal Toida, because the bread, the Lechem, is coming. Glal is like big glal. As a result, it's secondary to the toida. It's coming on account of the toida. So once you've designated this bread for this toida, you can't use this bread for a different toida. It's been designated and committed for this animal. V'ein toida glal lechem. However, the toida animal is not coming on account of the lechem. It's not subordinate and secondary to the bread. It's actually the ikur of the two things. And therefore, even if the lechem somehow went missing, you can replace it with another batch of lechem and apply it to this toida. So we're speaking where he said, Zutoida v'zulachma, the behema went missing. So now the toida, the lechem, is sitting here without any purpose because you can't use it for another carbon. And that was the lechem that would use on the harabites. V'nifrakinu. So why can't he just redeem it? Do pidyon. Why do you have to leave it up on the harbayis, wait till it gets pasul, asur, b'achil, and burn it? Just be paid it, and take the money, the value, and perhaps purchase with it another batch of lechem in the future. Why take this lechem and burn it? And just turn it into chulin. And then you can just eat the bread before chatzos, before these mana sreif. Apparently we're speaking that the carbon was shechted, was shechita done. However, the process wasn't completed. In order to properly be makadosh to lechem, you have to do two things, shechita and zrika. He did shechita, but no zrika. V'nishpach adam, the dam spilled out. So he never came to the point of zrika. Now, since the shechita took place, that granted some minimal form of kedusha to the lechem. It's now no longer just kedushas damim, kadosh on account of its monetary value, a monetary kedusha which allows for pidyon, for redemption. It's already kadosh kedushas haguf. It's been bumped up to a higher level of kedusha. It's inherently kadosh because the carbon had shechita, which grants the lechem some form of kedusha. Now, once it's inherently kadosh, kedushas haguf, essentially kadosh, you can no longer be paid to that lechem. So have nothing else to do with it other than putting on harbais to serve as an indicator. Now, although he only did shechita, not zrika, how does that affect the lechem? How is it mekadosh? Ukeman ke Rebbe? Are we following Rebbe Shita that holds Amar Rebbe? Shnei dvarim hamatirin. Whenever we have two elements that are required to be matir something. For instance, in this case, where the lechem only becomes mutar b'achila if there were two things that took place, shechita and zrika of the carbon. Nevertheless, says Rebbe, shnei dvarim hamatirin malin zebulei ze. Not that you only have one, not the other. They are malin. They push up. They elevate. Even one without the other. So when we have a proper shechita, but not a proper zrika, although you haven't really completed the full process of the akrav of the carbon, and therefore you can't actually eat the lechem, but the shechita, which is a partial process, one matir at least, can influence matters and can impart a partial kedusha onto that lechem to bring it up from kedusha's dam, monetary kedusha, to kedusha guf, which will preclude pidyon. So we found that shechita, the sanya. Where do we find the shechita? Kivsei atzeres. A mekachin es alechem ela b'shchit. So we know that just as the toida has bread, the kivsei atzeres, the two carbon shlomim that you bring on shvuas, you bring along with them two lechem, shtei alechem. So they are only going to be mekadesh that lechem if the you did shchita to the kvasim. Keitzad, shachton lishmon. If you shechted the kvasim lishmon properly with a proper intention to turn into a kivsei atzeres, a proper carbon shlomim, so you did that properly. Vezarek dam lishmon, and likewise the zrika of the dam of the kivsei atzeres was done lishmon for the sake of the carbon with the proper intention. Kiddush alechem. So now at this point, everything is completed. The lechem is now fully kadosh, and you go ahead and eat it. However, if you didn't do it properly, shachtan shlo lishmon, you did the shechita but with the wrong intention. Perhaps you had a oila in mind. V'zorok dam shlo lishmon. Likewise, when it comes to the zrika, you did the zrika shlo lishmon. Lo yikidei shalechem, lechem wasn't kadosh because since it was shachtan shlo lishmon and zorok dam shlo lishmon, there's nothing to be mekadosh to lechem, and you may not eat it. Not only are you not going to eat the lechem, it remains in its former status of kedushas dam. Nothing happened to it. Now, what happens if shachtan lishman, you did the shechita properly, but not the zrika, v'zorak dam and shalei lishman? So one of the matirim were done properly, the shechita, but not the zrika. What happens then? Lechem kodesh v'ene kodesh. The lechem is kodesh, but not kodesh. A partial kedusha descends on the lechem. Divi Rebbe. According to Rebbe, this lechem is now considered kedushas haguf on account of the proper shechita, but you can't eat it because the carbon, the kivsei atzeres, weren't properly brought. The process wasn't properly completed. So some form of kedusha was applied, but not a complete kedusha which would allow eating. So apparently, our Gemara, Rabbi Yamai, who speaks about the chalis toida being unfit for pidyon, and therefore they used it on the harbayis on account of the fact that the carbon had a shechita, the carbon toida that is, but not the zrika, which gave them kedushas haguf, but didn't allow them to be eaten. This limbo status, this kaddish v'ne kaddish, is apparently in line with the shita's Rebbe holds that that is a result of a partial process. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer, he says, no, lo ilam v'ne kaddish, there's never any kaddisha whatsoever here. Eine kaddish alechem ad sheishcha l'shman, v'yidzirk dom l'shman, until he does the shita and the zrika properly. Because one without the other is just an incomplete process and doesn't really affect the lechem whatsoever, and you can go be paided because it's only kaddish kedusha is dumb, has only monetary kedusha, not kedusha taguf. Says my filo tamer Rabbi Elazar Shimon. You know what? Rabbi Yamai can be in line even with Rabbi Elazar Shimon. Hachem my skin. You know what we're speaking about? Kegoyin shenis kabel hadam bekois. He did the shechita on the toida properly. When it came to the zrika, he was mekabel. He received the dam in a container in the kois. But he never got to the actual sprinkling of the dam. V'nishbach got spilled out. Rabbi Elazar Shimon sabel kavua. Rabbi Elazar Shimon holds like his father, who says that even once it got to that point, it is already somewhat considered zrika. You have begun the zrika process. The Omar, his father says, kol ha'omer lizrei kizarok dami. When something is slated for zrika, it's sitting in a kais ready to be sprinkled. It's as though zrika has already occurred. So although in practice there was no zrika, and therefore the lechem is not really mutar, but to some extent we view it as a initiation of the zrika process, to the point that kedushas guf has now been chal, has now descended on that lechem. That's what we're speaking about here. You had a toida in which the carbon was nishchat properly. The zrika was initiated. The dam was brought into a kais, but there was no zrika. It got spilled out. So, although there was no zrika, and the process wasn't complete, and therefore the lechem is not mutar b'achila. But, however, the lechem now, according to all shittas, is kaddish kedushas hakuf, because it has a shechita and it has the zrika as well. Therefore, pidyon can't be applied. It can't redeem it any longer. So it's basically useless. And therefore, they used to use it for that indicator on the harabayis to keep the public mindful of the zmanim on Erev Pesach. So that's Rav Yamai's version of events. Tona Mishun Rav Elazar Amru. So we have a Braisa, the name of Rav Elazar. Kshiris Hoyu. He learns that actually the Chalis were perfectly fine. They were kosher. They weren't psalis whatsoever. And they would place it on the Harabais, up high. And that would serve as an indicator, Kozman Shemanochis. As long as both Chalis were present, Kolam Oichon, the public would continue eating their Chametz. Nitla Achasman, when one was removed, Toilin, they would enter the state of limbo. Toilin means loy oichlan, they would no longer eat, but they wouldn't actually burn the chametz. They would have hanah from the chametz. Nitzlu shtein, when both were removed, and no chalas were present up there any longer, hitzchilu kulan seifen, everybody would begin the streifas chametz, because that was a sign that the sixth hour has arrived. Asks Tosfos, how can you go ahead and put chalis toida that are kosher up there and cause them to be burnt? Says Tosfos, apparently this shita of Rabbi Elazar is in line with Rabban Gamliel, who holds that although chulin you cannot eat past the fourth hour, but truma you can eat another hour, and therefore when it comes to the chalis toida, we regard them like truma since they are kaddish, and you can eat them all throughout the fifth hour. And Tosfos explains that the last remaining challah would be removed a couple of minutes before the Zman Strefa arrives to give them the opportunity to consume it. This way, it would not get lost. We have a final version of events. Tanya b'sholaymer. We're not speaking about challahs that were placed there. They used something else as a simon. Shtei paris hayu choshes b'haramishcha. There were two cows plowing on haramishcha, harazesim near Yishalayim. Kol zman sheshtein choshes, as long as both of them were out there, Kolomo Ichlin. So everybody will continue eating. Nitla Achasman, once one of the cows were removed, Toilin, they would enter the state of Toilin, Lo Ichlin, Lo Seifen, they wouldn't eat, but they wouldn't burn. Nitla Shtein, when both were removed, his chiluk olam seifin that indicate that the sixth hour arrived, and everybody began the Sreifas Chametz. So in summary, the Beis Din arranged for some sort of indicator to keep the public mindful of these manamer of Pesach. We have four versions. According to the first version of the Gemara, there were two chalets that were nifsal. Why were they nifsal? Belina, because if you can't bring the Toida on Erev Pesach, certainly on Erev Pesach itself. So all would come with their karbanos on the 13th day, and due to the abundance of the chalets and a few eaters, some of them would become pasal by lina, by remaining overnight. So now we have chalets Toida that are pasal on Erev Pesach, who placed up there to serve as an indicator, and then burnt when the time came. Rabbi Yanni's version was that these chalits were problematic because the toida was nishchat, but there was no zrika. So they already have kedushas haguf, and therefore you can't redeem them, but you can't eat them because the toida wasn't properly processed. So they're pretty much useless, and you have to take, and you can just take them and use them as an indicator. According to the third version of the Gemara, they were actually chalas ksheres. According to the final version, they were shtei paras chershes. Two of these cows plowing away on Har Mishcha, and that served as an indicator. As long as they were both out there, that indicated that it's still time to eat chametz. One of them was removed, that indicated that the fifth hour arrived. Once both removed, indicated that the sixth hour arrived, and it's time for a Sreifas chametz. Okay, time for a quick chazara. So we learned again that from Chatzos onward, you may not eat chametz min haTorah. Min derabbanan, there's a hachakadon to safeguard, to create that cushion, a leeway, to account for miscalculations. We have machlokes, to what extent they applied that gzera. According to Rabbi Meir, they pushed it back 1 hour, according to Rabbi Yehuda, 2 hours. According to Rambam Gamliel, when it comes to chulin, you stop at 4 hours. According to, when it comes to truma, we give you another hour. Now regarding halacha l'maisa, we learned that both Rav and Rebbe paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We also learned regarding Erev Pesach that fell out on Shabbos. According to one shita, you burn everything before Shabbos, just leave yourself a bit for the two sudas of Shabbos, according to Chachamim. The Truma Tahira, just leave around just in case some surprise guests arrived. We learned about a pikadon, which you go ahead and sell at the last moment in order to avoid the hefset, so that it doesn't become useless. And this is a form of Hashavas Aveda. We also learned about the concept of maintaining proper public image and perception, Visim Nikim, Mashem and Yisrael, not to evoke suspicion. And we proceeded to the indicators, the two chalas that were placed on the harabais, up high on the Gag HaIstava. We have two, four versions. Either they were chalas that were pasal belina, chalas on which the carbon was nishchat but not nizrak, chalas ksheres, or two parais on har hazeis.